Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, our guests are Helgi and Brandon in a very, very special episode. We are going to talk about the spondyloarthritis athlete and overcoming obstacles and leading advocacy efforts. Helgi and Brandon, welcome to SpondyCast. I'm super excited to have you here. I'm going to go alphabetical and have you introduce yourself. So I'll go with Brandon first.
Okay. My name's Brandon, and thanks for having me on. I have ankylosing spondylitis. I was diagnosed about, I'm 41 now. I think I was 34, 35 when I got diagnosed. So about five, six years ago. And like we were just talking, I kind of went from not really being able to walk to getting involved in 200, 300 mile ultra runs and kind of everything in between. And I'm looking forward to kind of sharing my journey up to how I got to where I'm at now, and hopefully inspiring a listener or two out there to kind of maybe start thinking that they can do a little bit more than they think that they can. So sometimes you just got to hear it or see it, and then you kind of start thinking, well, maybe I could do that. So that's kind of what I'm about.
Amazing. Helgi?
Thank you for having me. My name is Helgi Olofsson. I'm also 41 years old and a good friend of Brandon's. Ankylosing spondylitis has actually brought me and Brandon together, and also many other folks in the world, some of who I know personally, some virtually. But I was diagnosed at age 19, so I consider myself a little bit more lucky than the typical AS case who gets diagnosed, you know, 20 years after they've had their first original pains. I had a great doctor who was supportive in making sure that I didn't feel like my life was over when I got diagnosed. And so I decided when I was about 10 years into my diagnosis, the first 10 years I was, you know, a 20 something kid basically who just wanted to have fun. And I did a lot of drinking and not taking care of myself. And I mean, I was having fun, but I wasn't taking my illness seriously. And it wasn't until I turned 28 that I started getting into endurance sports and was able to couple the endurance sports training with advocacy efforts and in support of originally I had started the Helgi Olofsson Foundation. And I was doing awareness efforts through that, but I closed that a few years later and started raising awareness through the Arthritis National Research Foundation and the Spondylitis Association of America, who I solely raise awareness for now and have done a few fundraisers for. And I really believe in advocacy and chatting with folks about spondylitis and spondyloarthritis and axial arthritis. There's so many different names right now, but I think that it needs to be a conversation that is normalized. And that's part of the reason why I started my advocacy efforts. The other part of the reason is that I wanted to really show people what they are capable of, because regardless of having ankylosing spondylitis or any form of arthritis or not, there are so many people out there in this world who just excuses on why they can't do things and why they want to put limits on what they can do. When if they think about situations in a different way, maybe it might be just a little bit easier, and maybe it won't. But I'm here to help people be able to reach their potential and challenge themselves to get to higher ground.
You guys are both so inspiring. I'm fangirling a bit here. Well, because I think that it is, okay, let's just acknowledge that not everyone can reach where you've reached, not every athlete and not every person with AS, but you've done some remarkable things and you've done them together. And I love that you have found community in overcoming some of the challenges. You shared a little bit about your journey. Was there a moment when you were like, I know my moment. So was there a moment where you were like, I'm not going to let this get me and I'm going to go get life?
I remember I hadn't been like formally diagnosed by a rheumatologist, but we were like I was pretty confident that it's what I had and the doctor was too. And I remember as he was walking out the door, and I could barely walk at this point, and I had been barely able to walk for about a month. And he looked at me before he shut the door and he said, we cannot let these diseases push us around. And I've always kind of had a very, I don't know if tenacious is the right word, or just, I've always kind of just thought big, and I'm either going to do it or I'm not going to do it. And I've just always been that way. And sometimes it's a blessing and sometimes it's a curse. And I decided right then, well, I'm going to find my way through this disease. And I remember the most I could do was walk on a treadmill for 10 minutes in our garage. And I was like, well, I mean, this is the most I can do right now. I'm going to do this. And I just kind of kept going and kept going and kept going. And so it was really that moment when that doctor said that to me, I was just like, you know, he's right. And I can either choose, you know, you got to choose which way you want to deal with the disease. And you can either just accept that you have it and kind of begin moving towards a new way of life, or just, I mean, you could be poor me or this or that, and you're still going to have the disease. And so that was kind of a defining moment for me in my journey with AS. So
you caught the bug early on. So that's great. It took, yeah. Takes a while for some of us. How about you, Helgi? I know you mentioned a little bit through like your 20s and
my father passed away from diabetes, and it was self-induced diabetes because he didn't take very good care of himself. He was very caring towards others, but not of himself. And eventually it killed him. And so, you know, it took me a long time to process that, but that also has a lot to do with kind of my change into, I really kind of saw things a little bit more clearly. When I did a Olympic distance triathlon as the runner. So I was the one who crossed the finish line. Wow. And when I crossed the finish line, and I felt pretty good, I was like, I mean, I felt pretty good physically after doing it. I was like, wow, I can do this. But then also I felt really good because I felt a sense of accomplishment in being the one who was crossing the finish line. You know, if I didn't cross the finish line, then my team wouldn't have finished and I probably would have been down on myself. But just having that little win, kind of like what Brandon's saying about going on the treadmill and then doing something a little bit more and a little bit more, that confidence boost was all that I really needed to tell myself and convince myself that I can do this. And so then I, you know, made a goal of becoming an Ironman in 1 year's time. And I basically put a plan together, hired a coach, and, you know, signed up for a bunch of smaller races in order to make sure that I was able to get to that goal. So I think that oftentimes people rely on others to show them the way or give them the golden ticket answer of how they're going to be able to get to where that person may be. And I get reached out to quite often on social media asking, what do I eat? What kind of mattress do I sleep on? What kind of habits do I have? Like, part of me wants to tell them, like, listen, dude, if you want to figure this out, you got to put some time and effort into this and really figure it out. But the other part, which is the supportive part, tells them, hey, you know, I appreciate you reaching out to me, but we're not all the same. And even if I did tell you what I do, it's not necessarily going to work for you. And I think that at the end of the day, it's really just to have that initiative and the will to succeed, to be able to learn and learn your own way forward in this disease, because we are humans and we are all genetically different. Even though we may have the same condition, even Brandon and I and you, Jill, don't have the same feelings and the same pains at the same times. It's all different.
No, except that I think tenacious is a common theme.
Not a ramble there, sorry.
No, you're not rambling at all. But I think tenacious is a common theme across people with AS. Okay, so you guys, you've done a number of projects together. Well, I won't call them projects. What would I call them? Races. And you live in very different places. So how has it been? You guys have met in person a number of times, right?
Yes.
So how was it when you met, and like, as this has developed as a friendship? Well,
so Helgi and I were very different, but we're very much the same. And I was on Instagram one day, and I had chosen to remain like naive to AS for a long time. I didn't want to see what it was going to do to me. I didn't want to see what people looked like with it. I didn't want anything to do with it. And finally I got on Instagram and I made a thing, and I was like kind of sharing my story, and I just typed it in, and I saw this dude like just running through the desert, and I'm like, oh, who's this guy? And so I started looking at his stuff, and I'm like, oh wow, this guy runs 200 mile races. This is incredible. And it's like, sometimes you just need to see that something's possible, and then you start to think, well, what could I do? I can't run 200 miles right now, but what could I do? And so I kind of reached out to him, and then he was doing Cocodona, and he's like, why don't you come down and crew me? And at that point, the furthest I had ever ran was like 34 miles. And so I flew down to Arizona. I watched kind of what transpired during the week of Cocodona, and I said, you know, I'm going to do this. I got to do this. This is way too cool. And I remember pacing Helgi out, and it's like, well, I should know this. We were on our way to Fort Tuthill. So we were probably mile 201 or 202. We just left Walnut Canyon or Kelly Canyon. And I was like, I'm going to do this race next year, dude. And he's like, yeah, I think you should wait 2 years, man. And he's like, I don't think your feet are going to be able to take it. And I said, well, I don't have that kind of time. And so I just signed up and I went for it. And he was right. My feet just weren't ready, and they couldn't carry me all the way last year. And since then, we have kind of developed this bond. Last summer, he stayed at my parents' house and I helped him with some races. And then I'm doing Cocodona again in 19 days now. And I've kind of listened to his advice here and there. And it's really become a very unique friendship for me. And it's just kind of worked its way out. And he lives in Florida and I live in Vancouver, Washington. And I'm good friends with his girlfriend, Sam. And it's just, it's a special friendship.
No, that's amazing. The world is big, but it's very small too, right?
So we had, Brandon and I had, he did an awareness piece. I forget what it was for, but there was someone who reached out to me to do something on me.
It was for Healthline. That's what it was.
Healthline. Okay. Yeah. And so I couldn't do it. So I had her get in touch with Brandon and she did it on him instead. And I think during the recording, she recorded Brandon and I meeting for the first time on video.
Yeah, that's the first time we ever talked on the phone. Yeah.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. No, but I really I value Brandon's friendship quite a bit. I tend to take people under my wing a little bit. Being that I've done so many 200-mile ultra marathons, and Brandon having ankylosing spondylitis is really special to me too, because you know, we know what each other feels like. So we know how to battle these things together.
I love this story. So how much, what is the longest you guys have run? Over 200 miles?
Not me. The furthest I've gone is 142 miles.
Oh, well, that's nothing. That is like, when I used to run, I didn't do that in a month. And you, Helgi, you've done how, 20?
I've done 14 200-mile ultra marathons. The farthest distance I ran was Cocodona 250 at this point, which is, I think it was 255 that year. But next year, Brandon and I are going to be doing something even crazier. We'll tell you in a little bit.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah.
You're going to tell us on this episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. Can we just dive into running for a second with AS?
Let's do it.
All right. So tell me, I know there are people who run. Some people are recommended not to run. Again, we're all different. But your experience obviously has been positive with running. Is there?
So I'll take this one. I think that running is great. Okay. Like, I think that there's a lot of people who have misconceptions about running, regardless of having AS or not. I think that there's a lot of folks who go about it in a way that is damaging to their bodies. And that is why trail running is really not the same thing as road running. For instance, a mountain goat, okay? A mountain goat on the ledge of a canyon is thinking 7 steps ahead when they're making their moves. And they require their body to interact with every single part of their body to make those 7 moves, including their brain. And in trail running, even if it's on a flat trail, it's still not a completely flat paved situation where you can basically close your eyes and move forward and still be able to not fall over. On a trail, you have to use everything. You've got to use your body's entire natural suspension system to absorb all of the shock and to propel yourself forward. And in ankylosing spondylitis, I feel like, and I'm not a doctor, this is just my experience, but I feel like it's really important to engage your entire body, including your core and everything like that, rather than just pounding on footstep after footstep and go straight up into your knees and straight up into your spine. And then also, you know, that's just the running side of it, but I kind of feel like being able to run, especially with ankylosing spondylitis, is a rite of passage. And it's something that you have to take seriously. And in order to be able to run, there's other things that need to be done as well to mitigate damage to your joints and things like that, including core exercises and stretching and diet and, you know, maintaining a positive attitude and things like that. Everything affects us as autoimmune patients. So I just feel like a lot of people think, oh, if I just go out and run, then I'm just going to be hurting. But I think that people don't look at it in a way that is like this bigger picture situation. They just look at it as running and that it's not going to be good for them because they have ankylosing spondylitis. But you got to start out small, listen to your body, and keep like, you know, challenge yourself more and more so that you can get better at it. Just like anything else really in life.
Yeah. It's this idea you're just speaking of on the using your suspension system. I love the way you frame that. But it's also the idea of the mountain goat. You can tell I've never thought of some of this stuff. So the mountain goat idea is like you've got to be rebuilding neural pathways, which has got to be great for your overall holistic system in that case.
If I could, I just want to share a little bit too, because, you know, with trail running, I mean, there's also a lot of hiking. And I mean, you're walking and you're going downhill and you're going uphill, and it's not, you're not just beating on your body on the pavement. So there's a lot of different types of movements. And I think another thing with running, if you have AS, is it's very empowering, because I've always believed that AS has a way of slowly taking things away from you and making you feel like you really can't do anything, when that's really not true. You just have to start small, and it will build from there if you are determined and you stick with it as a way of life. Because I remember I would walk and I would walk and I would walk, and I hated walking, and all I wanted to do was run. And I thought, you know, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm in pain, so I may as well run. And so I remember I ran a quarter mile, and I walked a quarter mile, and I ran a quarter mile for 2 miles. And that was very empowering. And I went back the next day, and I went a little bit more, and then a little bit more. And this is 6 years ago. And I just never, ever stopped. And now, like today, when we get done with this podcast, if someone said, I want you to go run 100 miles, if you give me food and water, I can go run 100 miles. And that's what you can do with a mindset of like, I'm not going to give up. And you just take very small steps that I think people with AS have to build very slowly. But I promise you, it is so empowering.
I believe that. I got up to 7 or 8 miles, and that was yeah. But it is empowering. And I think it's like any, right? And one of you touched on it. It's this building block.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be 100 miles. It could just be someone that is like, I don't think I could ever run a half marathon. Well, I almost really guarantee you that you can. And
yep.
You just find your way to it. I just love seeing people with AS do something that they didn't think they could do. I don't care if it's running or kayaking or surfing or whatever. Just we can do a lot more than we think.
And the movement.
Yeah, we have a buddy named. Go ahead.
No. I just said the movement is so critical.
Sorry. Yeah, for sure. We have. So when Brandon came out to do Cocodona 250 as a crew pacer, we also had Rick Herzer, who is another guy who has AS, and he was also supporting me during that adventure. And we did a documentary filmed by my buddy Seth Dubois of Ebb Media. It's called Movement as Medicine. And it's basically the journey of the Cocodona 250 experience in 2022. So it's really cool if anybody wants to watch that. It's about an hour long, but Rick, he was able to be a pacer during that time. I didn't know that his knee was giving him so many issues, and it's probably not even AS related, to be honest. But he's been beat down so many times on just trying to get out and finish like a 50 miler or even smaller runs now. But eventually, after like 3 or 4 years, he got a knee surgery, and he's coming through that. And it was just really hard for Brandon and I to see him struggle so much, because all that he wanted to do was to be able to run like we are. And he has the capability to do it, but he has something wrong with his body that was keeping him from doing that. So but my point is that he didn't give up, and he, and even to the extent of having to get a knee surgery, and now he's recovering and he's feeling good about himself. His confidence is building back up, and I'm certain that he will accomplish those goals that he wants to. So it's really all about mindset at the end of the day.
You're making me think of, there's a, I don't know if it's a Hindu or a Buddhist saying, and it says like, your life has two journeys. There's an inner journey and an outer journey. And the only one, the only thing that matters right now is the take your, the step you're taking right now. Right. That's the only, I didn't get that right somewhere. I'll find it.
No, I know the one you're trying to say.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
What you said is definitely not it, but I know what you're trying to say.
I want to run. I know where it's at in my closet. It's on a little card from a friend. But I'm not going to pause for that. So what do you do on the bad days when you wake up and you feel those few days that.
I do it anyways. I give myself a little bit of patience, a little extra patience, a little extra slack. I'm not hard on myself. And I tell myself, I'm going to go do what I need to do. It's just going to hurt a little bit more than normal. And I'm going to be a little slower than normal, but I'm going to go do it anyways. I do it anyways.
Yeah. For me, it's the mornings probably hurt the most. And I think that's pretty typical with AS patients. But usually it's like a 5 or 10 minute rule where you go start and it kind of loosens itself up a little bit and you can accomplish what you set out to do. Sometimes if I have a flare or something like that, which is usually caused when I'm not able to run, to be honest, when I can't run for longer periods of time, like a week or something like that, it's bad. And so if that happens, then I will give myself, rest and be able to recover, focus on stretching. I might up my time in taking my shot, which I take Cosentyx, just to help, anything to help, really. I have a percussive massager that I use quite often. When it gets bad for me in a race, it's usually my shoulders that hurt quite a bit because of the packs that I carry. And so massage and the percussive massager and just like moving around and stretching and just trying to loosen up is what I do. But in no instance will I accept defeat.
Yes.
Because it's, everything is temporary, regardless of what it is. And you're always going to get through it. And I think that having the spondylitis community and people like Brandon in my corner is really something that I value, and I'm able to look within and find that source of inspiration to keep me going forward. And it's really worked well for me.
That's beautiful. I want to plug some SAA work that you guys have done. I know you're very passionate about it, and there's been a lot of, I think, collaboration and, from an SAA standpoint, or from a standpoint, your standpoint, like, has that support from such a large organization been beneficial and valuable to you as you've journeyed through this?
Yeah, I think,
go ahead, Brandon.
Oh no, it's been really cool to kind of get involved with you guys and then have other people that I would never have talked to interact with me. I mean, I've had people all over the world send me messages on Instagram that have AS, that have heard something I've said on here, or have read something, and they'll ask me, you know, what do you do for this, or what do you do for this? And just being able to actually make a small change, a positive change in someone else's life that I would have never spoken to without getting involved with you guys has been really cool. And then just like just knowing that our voice and our mission or is being heard by other people, and maybe there's somebody out there that'll hear this that will start running and it'll change their life. You know, that's what I love about the SAA. It gives us a platform to be on, you know, to reach people.
I guarantee you someone's going to be because of you.
Absolutely, Brandon. Yeah. So, and you know, I'm really proud of like what I've seen you be able to do and the people I've seen you be able to inspire in just the past few years since you've gotten into it. And I've been doing it since 2011. So, you know, originally when I got connected with the SAA, it was Aline Aslanian was, I don't know if she still works there anymore.
She's still somewhat involved.
So I think I reached out to her just saying, hey, I have this condition and I saw what you guys do and I want to raise awareness for this disease through my races. And so they sent me a whole bunch of pamphlets and pens and like a shirt for me to wear that said Stand Tall.
Yep.
And like a banner and stuff like that. And they gave me all the stuff that I needed to be able to do little expos at the Kona Marathon in Hawaii and Lava Man Waikoloa and all these little races. So that's kind of how I started raising awareness was through the Spondylitis Association of America. And I just really like that it's giving patients access to information and support. I think that those things are really important in our condition because there's still so many people who don't even know what it is. And, you know, it shouldn't be like that. It should be a more well-known disease because it is kind of common. It's not, you know, it's not too common, but there's people who have it. You know, for instance, Brandon and I have it, and we're two of 15 people in a race that is coming up. And then there's another person who's a third person in those 15 people that I didn't even know had a AS and that is in the 200 mile community herself. There's still people who are 40, 50, 60 years old that don't even know that they have it.
Yeah.
And the more that we can educate people about it and talk about it, like on podcasts like this or articles or however the media is, social media, there's all different kinds of ways that you can get information. But the more that it's out there, the more that it'll be known. And Spondylitis Association of America gives us that opportunity to be able to do that. And I think that the funds are used for good cause and, you know, to help patients who need help.
100%. I'm behind that statement. So what is your, let me pivot back. I have so many questions and I know our time is quickly coming to a close. So we're going to have to maybe do a second round later in season two, but what's your daily routine like? I know you both just from a workout standpoint, running, keeping up with regular life. What's that like for you guys?
So mornings are definitely the hardest.
Yeah.
And I get up, get some coffee, and then it's like I just kind of want to get like moving. Like I want to like take out the garbage, I want to empty the dishwasher, I, you know, kind of put away some laundry. I just kind of want to like do something to get my body moving. And then if I have to work, then I go to work. And then if I have to run, I kind of stretch a little bit and I get ready to run. And I just kind of, it's like the longer you live with it and the longer you kind of live the way you've chosen to live with it, kind of the less you even think about it, for me anyways. And it's just like, this is just what I do. And I told myself a long time ago, if you just do this long enough, you won't even think about it. This will just be your normal life. And so now if I have to go run 15 miles or 25 miles, or I just don't even think about it. I just go do it. But that first like hour in the morning for me, like I just need some easy kind of moving around. And then every night I will stretch, and I use a foam roller, and then I have the Theragun thing, a percussive massager that I use. And then if my back is really bad, because my main problem is like my SI joint, if it's really bad, then I will ice my back. And I don't do it every night, but if it's bad, I'll do that. And so it's like people maybe on Instagram, all they see is us running. But yeah, there's a lot of other stuff that goes into us being able to run. And you just have to just be patient and be determined and just kind of do these things and integrate it into your daily life. And if you do it long enough, it will just become your way of life.
Yeah. Helgi, how about food? Is that important to your success?
Well, I get this question all the time because
just tell them that you eat anything and everything.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, no, I mean, I try to stay away from sugar, you know, empty carbs aren't the greatest. But you know, in a 200-mile ultra marathon, you're burning 17,500 calories a day. Like it's a lot. I mean, Brandon and I are big dudes, so we burn a lot, and it's almost impossible to take in that much. So you're burning your fat stores, which is actually what humans were designed to do. We weren't designed to have so much convenience that we can eat three meals a day.
Yeah.
We were designed to be able to like sustain life for days on end based on a kill that we spent 4 days trying to kill that animal. You know, and so we were designed to be runners as humans. That's why we are upright, we stand on our feet, our diaphragms are separate from our stride, like a cheetah that when it runs, its diaphragm expands and contracts, so it gets tired. It can't sustain that, but human beings can find their forever pace and go forever. But that's a whole nother story.
Are you a Tom Bilyeu fan?
I don't even know who that is.
He's got a podcast. He talks a lot about food and mindset. Check him out. I'm trying to remember the name of his podcast. You sounded just like him. Quest Nutrition is what he founded.
Okay.
I'll
write that down. Oh, the Quest bars. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but he's super interesting about like what we were designed to do as humans versus what we do with ourselves now from a, let's call it a mind, body, spirit perspective. Okay. So I'm going to ask before we get too far, can you share with us what you're doing next?
Sure. I'll take this one. One of my favorite things to do is plan adventures. And I just love the logistics involved. I love all the moving parts. I love putting people in places. I love organizing all the things that need to be organized so that, you know, you can kind of just set it and forget it and start the adventure and just go. And so I'm in the planning processes of this one right now. And I asked Brandon if he wanted to join me for an adventure next year. There is a 300-mile ultra marathon that is going to be the inaugural year. It's called Arizona Monster 300. And this is from the same race family called Destination Trail, which does the Tahoe 200, Bigfoot 200, and Moab 240, which is the triple crown of 200s.
Wow, you've done those.
I've done that three times. Yes, I've done the triple crown three times.
Wow.
One of my fundraisers for the Spondylitis Association of America was actually a trans triple crown of 200s, which was over 61 days doing 2,850 miles. And where lots of stuff happened. There was a lot of planning involved, and everything that I planned went out the window when I broke my foot 6 days before the adventure started. So I had to change the gears and cycle in between the races so that I could recover enough to be able to run the race and then cycle to the next race. But I was able to get it done, and it was just a life-changing experience, really. But it just goes to show that you have to be ready to adapt. And ready to adapt. And so my this new project, though, is so that starts with the 300, and then Brandon was mentioning the Cocodona 250, which is a 250-mile ultramarathon. Both of these ultramarathons are in Arizona, and one of them starts 15 miles from the Arizona-Mexico border, and it goes through Tucson, kind of finishes just east of Phoenix in Superior, Arizona. And then what the plan is to go from that finish line and go north on the Arizona Trail to the General Crook Trail, which is by, I think it's called Pine, Arizona. And then from there, heading to the Black Canyon Trail, which is across the Verde Valley, to the Black Canyon Trail down south to the start of Cocodona 250. So that's a 325 mile section, rather, in between. And then we would start Cocodona 250 and finish in Flagstaff, Arizona, which is in northern Arizona. So it's a just shy of 900 miles. And the slogan that we're using is "Have Our Back."
Huh? I love that.
Because Brandon and I have ankylosing spondylitis. And obviously, because it's a fundraiser, we are going to be promoting to the community, and we want everybody to have our back while we're out there. So it'll be a super, super challenging adventure. But the idea is to race the races and to get to the next race able to actually be fully recovered by the time that the race starts. So we've got 25 days in between the two races, so it to go 325 miles. So it's not a heavy pace that we have to do compared to what we're going to be doing in the races, but it's still going to be challenging.
And how many days total is that?
Arizona Monster starts on April 4th, and it finishes on the 11th or the 10th, I think. And then Cocodona 50 starts on May 5th.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's like 40 days or something like
40
that.
40 days. I don't know. Wow. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Amazing. How do we follow the journey?
We're going to have to keep you folks posted on that. We'll certainly develop some sort of a landing page on the Spondylitis Association of America's website, that, like we did with our previous fundraisers. It'll just have all the information on there. There'll be ways to follow us. There'll be a route map. We'll most likely have people be will if people want to come out and see us at a checkpoint, then we'd be happy to do that. If somebody is fit enough to be able to pace us for sections, we would entertain that idea as well. But we would just have to make sure we have conversations about the expectations on that, just because we need to be able to continue to move forward. Right. But we always welcome people in the community
run with us. If you want to come run with us, get in touch with us. I love the company out there and the camaraderie of these things. So if you're fit and you want to come run with us, please do.
Yeah, and if people don't feel like they can do it, then talk to us. Maybe we can help them get to where they feel like they can do it.
Yeah. Your DMs just blew up. Well, congratulations. That's amazing. You now have about 11 and a half months to finish out training, right? And we would love to have you back, I think, at some point in your journey, maybe even before and after. I would love to wrap on that note, but just to, I'm so inspired. You're making me want to go run right now. Do you have any last, we've had 40 minutes of inspiration, so I don't know where, I don't even know what else we could say or you could say that would top what we've just heard. But any final thoughts you guys want to share?
Helgi, go ahead. You got anything?
Well, I mean, it's just really more of the same. You know, I think that people just need to try. When somebody psychs themselves out on something, that's going to become the new normal for them. But it's almost just as easy to take a chance and see if you can do something rather than just deciding not to do it. I mean, there's a saying where you lose 100% of the shots that you don't take. And it's so true in ankylosing spondylitis. It's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be hard. And when it's hard is when you know that you're growing. And so, you know, the world has been built on a lot of convenience and comfort and things like that. But if you go back to when we didn't have all these things, people would take a lot of chances and they would succeed because they knew that they could do these things. Yeah. A lot of people these days don't even know what they can do because they don't take the chances. So,
yeah, we can do a lot more than we think. That's what I've learned. And I think if you listen to this and decide to try and do something, I think you will surprise yourself, because I know that I have personally surprised myself. I have far surpassed anything I ever thought I would do. And I always tell myself, I have done far more with this disease in my life. And I feel like I'm just kind of getting started, but I've done more with this disease in my life than I ever would have done without it. So
I would second that. And so let's close on that note. Thank you both for choosing your heart and sharing it with the world and how successful you can be. I think on behalf of SAA, I speak for all of us in saying thank you for inspiring all of us on the board and the staff members and the listeners. You are certainly creating positive impact for a lot of people with this disease. So deeply grateful.
Thank you.
SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie. Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit, educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.